Sunday, 15th of July, 2012, our English wedding anniversary, 26 years today, yeah. Cafe Tamas, Tufshin Iron Base, Shea in North Hendon, Kolel, Shea Giv Magash and Hetna, on Tehillim, Chapter Yud Ches, and we're up to Pasuk Kaf Vov. I'd like to give the Shea Le'ilu Nishmas, Mr. Albert Meyer, Zichron Le'Livracha, Rab Avram, Abba Ben, Hechove, Menachem Aryeh. I'm very much. I don't think I'd be able to give this share without the tuition that he gave me when we were children. He taught us so much. He taught us German and Ivrit and Dikduk and Chumash Rashi and the music and singing and so he could teach anything really. We have an enormous amount to be grateful for, and at home we still sing all the Chanukah Nigunim and all the school songs. We sing them all, yeah, we do. Our children know them really well. So 16 years ago, okay, 15 or 16 years now, yeah, okay. So we're up to Tehillim Chapter Yud Ches Pasuk Kaf Vav, and what we'll do is we'll tackle Kaf Vav together with Kaf Zayin because the two pasukim really are a pair. Im Chosid Tis Chasod, with a pious person or a devout person, tis chasod, you deal piously. Im gevar tomim, with a person who is perfect, ti tamom, you deal perfectly. Im novar, with a pure or a trustworthy person, tis baror, you deal in a trustworthy manner. Im ikesh, and with a crooked person, tis patol, you deal in a crooked manner. Derekesh of Asaltol is coming up. Yes, absolutely, it's coming up. Yeah, I didn't think of that connection. I learned the pasuk, and then of course I saw it in the Mefarshim. Okay, so the gist of the pasuk. Many Mefarshim say this. Rosh Hashanah Fael Hirsch says it, and the Rishonim says it as well. That the idea of the pasuk is that Hakadosh Baruch Hu is multifaceted and will deal with the person in a multitude of ways, and it depends on the person. If the person's good, Hashem deals with them in a good way. If a person's bad, Hashem deals with them in a bad way. So it's simply that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if you like, is an echo of what the person is. Pardon? Reflection of what we are like. So let's deal with that straight away. A reflection of what what the person behaves. This is brought in the Sefer Das Mikra. I wasn't going to say this yet, but you said it, so it's really important to say it now. These words, the verbs here, are all in the Hispoel, which is reflexive. Im Chosid, Tis chasod, im gevar tomim, ti tamom, im navar, tis baror, v'imikesh, tis patol. All those words, there are four verbs, I think, tis chasod, ti tamom, tis baror, and tis patol, they're all in the hispoel, which is reflexive conjugation. Why? Says the Das Mikra, because it's a reflection of the human being. However the human being is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu deals with them in a similar way, so hence they're all in the reflexive. Interesting? So let's just deal with the terms. I've taken the Art Scroll translation here. Im chosid, he translates chosid as a devout person, tis chasod. Im gevar tomim he translates as wholehearted. Gevar tomim, the wholehearted person, titamom, with that person you deal with in a wholehearted manner. Im novar, he translates as novar, as trustworthy. Tis baror, you deal with him in a trustworthy manner. V'im ikesh, with a crooked person, tis patol, you deal with in a crooked manner. Okay, that's the gist of the pasuk. So the first thing to look at is the way Rashi learns it. Rashi is the first one who tells us that it's a reflection. HaKadosh Baruch Hu deals with us depending on our midas. Hashem deals with us midah keneged midah. Then Rashi says, and he bases this on the Targum, that what we have here are three expressions of Tzidkus and one expression of Rishus. Three expressions of Tzidkus, Chosid, Gevar Tomim, and Novar. Those are our three Tzadikim, and one Rosha, Ikesh. So Rashi explains, who are the three Tzadikim? Surprise, surprise, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And who's the one Rosha? Paro. Okay, so Rashi explains, Im Chosid, well, Chosid relates to Avraham, and that's really easy because the root is Chesed. Paro did Teshuvah. Okay, so did Teshuvah, but while he was still a Rosha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu dealt with him very harshly. While he was still an Ikesh, a crooked person, he dealt with him in a crooked manner, so to speak. Yeah? So our first tzaddik is the chosid, and that's a reference to Avraham Avinu, and of course that's connected to the word chesed. Gevar Tomim is Yitzchok, the perfect person, and that's related, that's explained in the art scroll on Tehillim, that the Tomim is because Yitzchok at the Akedah became an Ola Tumimah, a perfect carbon Ola, Ola Tumimah. Yeah, that's how the art scroll puts it. Well, oh, Tomim Hayab Derisov, yes, yeah. I didn't see any Mefarshim saying relating that to Noach. And the third one is the Novor, which means trustworthy, and that's a reference to Yaakov. And I don't quite know how that connects into Yaakov. If anything, the word Tom could refer to Yaakov, Yaakov ish Tom. But the Rashi, based on the Targum, learns that this Novor is a reference to Yaakov Avinu, and Ikesh is, of course, Paro. Now,
what does Novor mean again?
Novor means trustworthy. It comes from the root, base resh resh,
barur,
clear, someone who's straightforward and clear. And we actually had that root on the last posuk, Kever Yodai, Vayoshev Hashem Nechid, Tzidki Hashem, as you paid me according to my righteousness, Kever Yodai, like the purity of my hands. Mm-hmm. So base resh resh, barur, yeah. So also you have the word borer. There's a perik, the third perik of Sanhedrin is perik zeh borer. This one chooses a judge. Or is it the second perek? Can't remember now. I think it's the third perek. Zeborer. When you have a din Torah, so Reuven chooses one judge, and Shimon chooses the other judge, and then two judges choose a third judge. Borer. Because once you've chosen something, it's clear. You have clarity once you've chosen a path. So you have clarity. So Beis Resh Resh is to choose, and it's also to be pure and to be clear. And here, here the Rishonim translates it as trustworthy. Okay. One small point from the art scroll, based on the fact that Yitzchak is described as Gevar Tomim. There's a very simple kasha on this pasuk. I had the kasha, and that is that the first one is described, the first tzaddik is described as Chosid. The second one is not described as Tomim, it's described as Gevar Tomim, man who is perfect. The third one is described as Novar. So we, and the fourth one is described, and the fourth one, who's the Rosh, is described as Ikesh. So we have, so the second one is an odd man out. It doesn't quite fit the pattern, because with most of them, we just have a one word description, a one word noun. Chosid, Novor, Ikesh. These are one word nouns that sum up the person. Whereas the second one is not described as Tomim. It could have said, Im Chosid Tis Chasod, Im Tomim Titamom. But it doesn't. And that would be a really nice, neat posuk. But it doesn't. It says, Im Gevar Tomim. Why the extra word Gevar? So the art scroll points out, and this is Rabbi Avraham Chaim Feuer, who's recently moved from America to Eretz Yisrael. He writes there that because this is reference to Yitzchok, and Yitzchok at the time of the Akedah didn't really understand what was happening to him, And he was prepared to become this Ola, even though he was still alive. He's described as this Ola Tamima, even though he actually lived to tell the tale. And he's still, despite having lived to tell the tale, he's still described, I suppose, by Chazal, as this Ola Tamima. So, as though he was the Korban, even though he lived to tell the tale. So the Chiddush is, even though he was a Gevar, he was a living human being, Gevar, he was a living, alive man, nevertheless, he's still ascribed to this description, this adjective of being an Ola Tumimo, the Gevar Tomim. So the extra word Gevar, so Rabbi Avraham Chaim Feuer adds into the article, why is they adding the word Gevar? It spoils the symmetry of the Pasuk, actually, yeah? Pasuk would be really symmetrical if it say Im Chosid Tis Chasod, Im Tomim Titamom. But the symmetry is spoiled by the word Gevar. So that word Gevar must be there for a reason. What's the reason? Even though he was a Gevar, he was alive, nevertheless, he's still described as Tomim, this Ola Tamimo. Mm-hmm. Yeah, even though he actually was alive. Why? Because he was fully prepared to die as a korban. So the preparedness gives him the description as the Ola Tamima, even though he actually was Gevar, a living human. Yeah? Nice shout there. Okay. The Targum here is fascinating. I've got to read out the Targum to you. Im Avraham with Avram, who was found to be a chosid, a pious man or a devout person before you, you gave him plenty of chesed. That means Avram did chesed, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu repaid him with plenty of chesed. Askesa means plenty. Imzaredi Yitzchok, with the children of Yitzchok, to have a shalim b'dechaltoch, who is perfect, this tomim b'dechaltoch in your fear, in Yerushalayim, ashlem tomima ru'usoch imei, you repaid the, I'm not quite sure what mima ru'usoch means, the saying of your will with him. The point being that Yitzchok was a Yirei Shemaim, Shalim B'dechaltoch, he was perfect in his Yira, but the Targum says, Imzaredi Yitzchok. It's not just Yitzchok who was repaid, it's his descendants were repaid as well. So you should see from here, you can see the pattern. The pattern is, whatever Avram did, Hashem repaid back more. Whatever Yitzchok did, Hashem repaid back more. Onto Yaakov, with Pasuk Kav Zayin, Im Yaakov, to have a Berir Kodomach, who was Berir? He was trustworthy before you. Becharta Venoi, you chose his children, Min Kol Amamai, from all the peoples of the world, for Afreshta Zare Min Kol Fisila, and you separated his children from anything evil, from anything bad. V'im Paro, and with Paro, V'zare and his offspring, Umitzroi and the whole of Mitzrayim, Dechashivu Machshavon Bishon Al Amoch, who thought bad thoughts on your people, Balbel Tinun B'machshavos Hon, you mix them up with their thoughts. I'm not quite sure what that means. You confuse them in their thoughts. It might be a reference to the Yom Suf, where they thought they'd be able to get through, and of course they couldn't. So that's the idea, you mix them up. Now, the theme throughout the whole Targum is whatever these people did, Hashem paid back with extra. Yeah, if Avram was performed chesed, Hashem gave him a lot of chesed. And Yitzchak and Yaakov were not the only ones who received reward, their children received reward. And Paro was a bad man, and it's not just Paro who was dealt a harsh blow, it's Vizarei Umitzrae, his offspring, and also the whole of Egypt, the whole country. So Hashem repays back with a lot more. Where do we get that from in the Pasuk? Where does the Targum get that from in the Pasuk? Namely, that Hashem repays back with more. So the Radak points out that it's based on this Hispoel. The grammar, Tischasad. You see, the Pasuk could have said, Im Chosid, Ata Usechesed. Or Ata... Yes, I'm not sure what the form of the word would be. It could have been put in the Kal, Techsad. I'm making that word up. You know, Techsad. You perform kindness. Im Gevar Tomim, I wouldn't know what the form of the word would be, but it could be in the Kal.
Tasechesed,
yeah, something like that. But it's not. It's in the Hispoel. Tis Chasod, Tit Amon, Tis Boror, and Tis Patol, they're all in the Hispoel. Says the Radak, a Hispoel denotes extra force. So whatever Avram did, Hashem repaid back with more. Whatever Yitzchak Yaakov did, Hashem repaid back with more. Whatever Paro did, Hashem paid back with more. So, and that's all denoted by the Hispoel. That's how the Radak explains it. And the Radak quotes a pasuk to prove it. It's a pasuk. It's in Sefer Shoftim, chapter Yotes, pasuk Kaf Beis, which speaks about the Pelegesh Begivah story, rather unfortunate story with the tribe of Binyamin. And the pasuk speaks about people banging on a door, and it says, the evil people from the town, they surrounded the house. Mistapikim al hadoles, hammering on the door. Mistapikim, it could have just put it in the kal, dofkim. Dofkim means to knock, knocking on the door. Like we have in Shashirim, kol dodi dofik. Right, the sound of my beloved one knocks on the door. It could have just said, dofkim al hadoles, they're knocking on the door, but it says mistapikim. Mistapikim is not just knocking, it's hammering with force. And that's a hispoel. So all these words in the hispoel, says the Radak, that's the source of the, that's how the Radak explains this piece of Targum, that it's Hashem repaying with a lot, with VAT. Hashem repaying with a lot of extras. I've got a bit of a kasha on this piece of Targum, because the Targum finishes off speaking about Paro. The Imparo Vizare or Mitzroi Dachashivu Machshavon Bishon Al Amoch. They thought bad thoughts on your people. And therefore, Balbel Timon Bamashav Vosson, you confuse them in their thoughts. Why does the Targum simply speak about the thoughts of Paro? He did a lot worse than just thinking, right? He acted on those thoughts and he murdered many thousands and thousands of Yidden, yeah? So, and that's how the Targum interprets this phrase, v'im ikesh tispatol. Why is that? So I'm not really sure. And the only thing I could maybe come up with is that the word ikesh means to be perverse in thought. And therefore the pasuk speaks about the word ikesh, so he needs to speak about where a person is perverse in thought. And that relates really to when Paro said, Havon ischak molo, pen yirbeh. That's the beginning of Shemos, chapter Aleph, Pasuk Yud. So Havon Ischak Molo was Paro's planning. And maybe that's what it is. I'm guessing here, I really don't know for sure. Maybe the word Ikesh means to be crooked or perverse in thoughts. And therefore it's a reference to Paro's thinking when he said Havon Ischak Molo. Or something along those lines. But I'm not sure. Otherwise I'm left with a bit of a kasha on this piece of Targum. Yeah? Okay, let's come on to this really interesting word, tispatol. It's really fascinating, tispatol. If im ikesh tispatol, and with the crooked one, you deal with in a crooked way. So you already mentioned the pasuk in Devarim chapter Lamed Beis, pasuk hey, der ikesh ufasaltel, in Hazinu, of course, Hazinu. Sheches lo lo. The destruction is not to him, bonov mumom, the blemish is on his people, it's not Hashem who's at fault, it's we who are at fault. Der ikesh, a crooked nation, a crooked generation, ufasaltol, and crooked or perverse. Perverse and crooked generation is how it's translated here in the Silverman Chumash. So, now that word ufasaltol, Rashi explains really interestingly, that word ufasaltol comes from the root pesof lamed. Pesof Lamed, which really means a wick. Pasil. Pasil can mean a wick or a thread. Okay, a thread or a single or a wick. And we'll come on to that in a minute. What's fascinating about this root of Fasaltol is that the root Pesof Lamed, and then we get an extra tof and an extra lamed added onto the end of a Fasaltol. Yeah, I'm on the word of Fasaltol. Mm-hmm. Right? So of the three letters of the root, Pesof Lamed, you have letters 1, 2, 3, 2, 3. Because the letter number 2 comes again and letter number 3 comes again. You with me?
Yeah, yeah.
It's a very strange, but it's a very strange structure. So Rashi, on that word of Fasaltol, explains that what this is a very, it provides the word with extra emphasis. When you use the root in that way, where you have 1, 2, 3, 2, 3, the letters of the root, it adds emphasis to the root. And Rashi quotes the pasuk in Tazria, where we have, it's in Tazria, and it's in chapter Yud Gimel, pasuk Memtes, which speaks about the colors of tzara'as on a beged. And the pasuk there says, "Va'yoha nega, if this nega, this area of tzara'as is yarak rak." O Adam Dom. So Yudresh Kuf means green. Yarakrak. Yeah, Yarakrak, O Adam Dom. So the root is Yudresh Kuf for Yarakrak, and the root of Adam Dom is Aleph Dalet Mem, which is red. But it's the same structure. It's letters 1, 2, 3, 2, 3. Yarakrak and Adam Dom. So based on that, the Teras Kernim, defines what are these colors, Yarakrak and Adam Dom, what are they? So Teskenim is in Tazria, and it's in Perek Yud Dalet, green and red. But it's not ordinary green, and it's not ordinary red. So Rashi in Tazria quotes it, and it's really, the source of it is from a Teras Kernim in Tazria, Perek Yud Dalet Os Base. V'ha nega yirak rak, yochel, you might think, kol mare yorok, that it applies to any shade of green. Exactly. It's a very deep green. Talmud lema yirak rak, yorok shebi yorokim, green of green, i.e. strong green. Odom, if it would have just said odom red, yochel, I would have thought, kol mare odom, any shade of red would be okay. Talmud lema adam dom is odom sheba adomim, it's a very strong red. Yeah, so it's strong. And in fact, in Halacha, I saw it quoted by the understanding. The Gemara, or the Mishnayos give actually things to liken it to. I think one of them is the feather of a peacock, to denote the green.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, something like that. The Gemara gives simonim to what shades of green, what shades of red. Mm-hmm. But it's strong. Strong colours, and that's what we've got here with the word of fasaltol, derikesha fasaltol, and our word tispatol is the same, except it's without the extra. It's not tispatol tail or something like that. It's just tispatol. It's just the root pesof lamed. But then in derikesha fasaltol, it's with the extra emphasis of the root letters 1, 2, 3, 2, 3. Okay, interesting. Yeah. Now, the Ibn Ezra, there's still quite a lot of tiktok on these psukim. The Ibn Ezra says something very, very surprising. And I discussed this with my good friend Jeremy Stanton, who's got tremendous knowledge of tiktok. And he explained it to me, but it's still a bit tricky. Im gavar tomim. Now, that word gavar, does it mean man or does it mean man of? Now, the word for man is really gever. Yes. Gever is a man, yeah? And that would be in the nifrod, as we'd call it, in the absolute form of the noun, just man. Oh, so I assumed it was a construct. And I can even... I can support that, the idea that it's a construct, because take a similar word like shevach, which means praise. So we have a Gemara in Pesachim, Daf Kaf Zayin Amud Aleph, which speaks about Yesh Shevach Eitzim Bapas, talking about someone who bakes a loaf of bread with, and the fuel is wood, which is, let's say, Kilaya Kerem or Orla, which is Osabano. Mm-hmm. I haven't really gone into that Gemara, but the Gemara discusses an opinion that bread itself becomes Osabano, like the wood was Osabano. You had no right to bake the bread, to use that fuel. Which is Orla or Kilai Kerem, both of which are Osabano. And therefore, according to one opinion in the Gemara, Yesh Shevach Eitzim Bapas. And I looked it up in the art scroll in order to get the full pointing. It's not Shevach Eitzim, it's Shevach Eitzim. Now, Shevach has the same pattern of vowels as Gervar, with the Shevar on the first letter and a Patach on the second and nothing on the third. Yeah? So Shevach and Gavar. And Shevach Eitzim means the benefit of the wood. Yeah? Of the wood. So that's what we'd call a smichus, a construct form, the something of. Yeah? So therefore, I assume that the word Gavar would mean a man of Tomim, perfection. But the Ibn Ezra says that the word gavar is not a smichus. The expression in the Ibn Ezra is toar ve'enenu samuch. It's an adjective and it's not a construct form. Maybe a noun, gavar. It's just and it means man. So the word gavar. So Jeremy Stanton said to me that the word gavar is simply a poetic form of the word gever. But it's not the man of, it means man. Therefore, the word tomim is an adjective of the word gavar. The perfect man. Gavar tomim, the perfect man. So the literal translation is the perfect man, rather than man of perfection. And now that goes very well, because the word tomim is not really a noun. If it would be man of perfection, it would be gavar tomimus. The man of perfection, because tomimus is a noun. But the word tomim really is an adjective, and therefore he learns that the word gavar is a noun and tomim is an adjective. I have one kasha still on that piece of Ibn Ezra, and that is gavar is singular and tomim is plural. And surely the adjective is going to match the noun. So it would say im gavar tom, not tomim. So that's my little kasha on the Ibn Ezra. Yitz Hashem, when we have Tchis HaMesim, Yitz Hashem will meet the Ibn Ezra, and I'll be first in the line, I'm going to ask him this kasha, and he'll have an answer. Yitz Hashem. Yeah. Now come to another big piece of diktuk. You okay with the diktuk? Yeah? Yeah? Okay. No, all right, I'll show you. The last word in Pasuk Kaf Vav, titamom. You can see that it doesn't quite fit the pattern of the other ones. Im chosid tis chasod. And then you've got tisboror. In other words, what you have is a tof followed by a sof, followed by the root. Tis chasod. Tis boror. Tis patal. It should be, tis tamom. Yeah, or something like tis tamom, but it's not. It's ti tamom. Very strange form. Yeah. So, are you with me? Yeah.
Isn't it something to do with if you've got a dog age, something to do with a missed letter?
Absolutely. Yes. There are now in that word titamom, the clues are, as you say, the clue is in the dogish. There are two dogishim in there are three dogishim in that word titamom, right? The first tof, the second tof, and then the mem. Now, the one in the first tof is a standard dogish for a begat kafas letter, where a tof, typically a tof at the beginning of a word, will take a dogish. That's a slightly simplified form of the rule, but that's the basic idea. The second tof is the second dogish, i.e., the one in the second tof, is a mystery. The one in the first mem is a key to the whole word. Because the root is tof mem mem, that's right, tof mem mem, and it is in the hispoel which takes a dogish in the second root letter. Okay, the hispoel pattern takes a dogish in the second root letter. You can see that. Take a look at the word tis chasod. You got a dogish in the samach.
Yeah.
In tis boror. The root is base resh resh. It is a hispoel. The first resh should take a dogish, but it's a resh is a gutter letter which just never takes a dogish. Okay, it's just a letter that doesn't take one. And it is
part.
Not because of begat kafas. It's because it would take the root is base resh resh.
A gutter
letter does not take a dogish, and a resh is a gutter letter. Okay? But otherwise, it would. Why? Because it's otherwise the first resh of. Because it's the second root letter of a hispoel in the hispoel pattern. And tispatol, that last letter, the last word, tispatol, again, the root is pay soft lamed, and the soft takes a dogish, which makes it into a tof. Why? Because it's a hispoel. So the second letter should take a dogish. So titamom has got a dogish in the first mem. Why? Because that first mem is the second root letter, because the root is tof mem mem. Okay? Well, what's happened in that word titamom is that it's an abbreviation of tistamom. Okay, so it is a hispoel, but it's abbreviated. How is it abbreviated? The sof that would be there, tis tamom, the sof has gone, and because the sof has gone, the mem has got a dogish because it's a hispoel and takes a dogish in the second root letter. But it's the second letter of the word titamom that's another giveaway. Because it's short for tis tamom, the sof has gone missing, and therefore there's a dogish in the next letter. The next letter being the second tof. You with me?
You said before that the second tof was a mystery.
It's got a dogish there. Which is slightly unusual. Normally, in a hispoel, be tisgad, like you have tisgadel versus kadesh. Yeah, you would normally get that. You'd get a soft there, tisgadel, tischasod. So, what's happened to that soft? The answer is that soft has gone missing, which gives us a dogish in the next letter. Now, the next letter is the first root letter. Which is a tof. So hence you get the dogish in that second letter of the word titamom. You with me so far? Okay. It's an the point being it's an abbreviated hispoel. Now if you think this is unusual, it is unusual, but I'll give you two very interesting examples. First very interesting example is right at the end of Parshas Noso. Where the last pasuk of Parshas Noso, it's chapter Zion. Pasuk Peites, where it speaks about the voice of HaKadosh Baruch Hu coming to Moshe between the Keruvim on top of the Oren. And the Pasuk there says, Vayishma Hakol, he heard the sound of Hashem's voice, Midaber Elov. Midaber Elov. Now, yeah, I know how you got to see the word. Because the word Midaber is, Rashi explains that word Midaber is short for Misdaber. It's a hispoel, which is normally reflexive, and it's as though Hashem is speaking to himself. Now, you've got a dogish in the vase, which makes it a base. Why? Because it's a hispoel and it's the secondary letter. But you've got the dogish and the dullard, and that's the key to this. Because it's short for miss daber, missing soft, dogish and the dullard. Yeah? And it's as though...
If Rock was talking to himself, why would it be a
lover? Or, so Rashi explains, Mistaber, it's as though it's Mistaber, it's a hispoel, Hashem is speaking to himself, and a love, Moshe happened to hear. That's the sound came to him, just happened to come to him. Yeah? So that's another interesting hispoel with a missing sof. Okay? Now there's another really interesting one with a great story. And that is... Now, look at this next example, fascinating example, with a great story attached. It's in Parshas Balak, chapter Kaftalot, Pasuk Zayin, where Bilam is speaking, and he says, V'yorum me'agag malko, the king of Yisrael should be greater or more exalted than Agog, and that's, some learn that's reference to Shaul over Agog. Now, the next one is, V'sina se malchuso, and his kingdom shall be raised. Now, the root is nun sin aleph, v'sinase, nun sin aleph. It's a hispoel. That's right. His kingdom shall raise itself up. Okay? V'sinase malchuso. Now, the root is nun sin aleph. Because it's a hispoel, it takes the dogish in the second root letter, which is the sin. But the unusual one is the dogish in the nun. Why is there dogish in the nun? Because it's short for v'sisnase malchuso. Okay? So again, there's a missing sof there, hence the dogish and the nun. So here you see these various examples of a hispoel with a missing sof. And the next root letter, the next letter, which typically is the first root letter, will take a dogish to replace the missing sof. Now, what's the story? Years and years ago, Shabbos Balak, here in North Hendon, there's during Kriyas HaTorah, the Baal Kriya read that word, v'sinase, he read it as v'sinose. Okay, very, very tiny reading mistake. Instead of a patach on the nun, he put it into a comma. V'sinose malchuso. Okay, now, and Rabbi Cooper Zichron and Evracha sort of jumped, you know, he reacted really quickly. He says, oh, v'sinose malchuso. Yeah, and I was listening, I remember thinking, what's the big deal of a difference between v'sinase and v'sinose? I was thinking, why did Rabbi Kippi correct that mistake? It's not a big difference between v'sinase and v'sinose. So patach and a komot are often almost interchangeable. It's not a big deal of a difference. And I looked into it and then I realized the dogish in the sin shows you it's a hispoel, dogish in the middle letter, while if it would be v'sinose, it would belong to the Nifal conjugation, not the Hispoel. V'sinose, a bit like V'sishomer, it shall be guarded. Yeah? And that would be a Nifal, passive. Whereas this is, in fact, a Hispoel. The Malchus shall raise itself, a reflexive meaning. Anyway, after shul, I went to Rabbi Cooper and I checked with him. I said, is it because v'sinase would be a nifal and v'sinase is a hispoel? And he looked at me as I was mad and said, well, of course. To Rabbi Cooper, it was so obvious and straightforward and simple. You know, yeah. Anyway, it's an unusual form. Yeah. V'sinase. Yeah. Nice one. Interesting. Now, let's come on to this word, tistapol, v'imikesh tispatol. The Ibn Ezra points out the pasuk in Parshas Vayetze about the birth of Naphtali, where the birth of Naphtali is recorded, it's in Parshas Vayetze, chapter Lamed Pasuk Ches, v'atemi Rochel, it was Bilhah. Bilhah is the mother of Naphtali. Naphtalei Elokim Niftalti. Yeah, imachosi. Now, v'atemi Rochel, so Bilhah is the mother of Naphtali, and Bilhah was the maidservant of Rachel. If you ever get mixed up between Bilhah and Zilpah, which one was the maidservant of which, is a key, easy one to remember. Just think of the word Barzel. Barzel, base with Reish, Zion with Lamed. So Bilhah served Rachel, and Zilpah served Leah. Barzel, yeah? So, now, look at this word. V'atemi Rochel, naftulei elokim niftalti. So, Rashi brings two pshatim on this. The first pshat he brings in the name of Menachem ben Saruk, who explains that this word naftule comes from the word posil, which is a thread or a wick. Like we have pasil tcheles, and pasilos are wicks. So how is a wick formed? It's entwined. You twine the cotton or the wool or whatever it is that's going to be used for the wick. It's twined round and round and round. And what Rachel is saying is, I've tried all sorts of devious means of becoming, or all sorts of means, I've attempted all sorts of attempts with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in order to be on a par with my sister Leah. I.e. by having children. Naftulei Elokim niftalti. Then Rashi says, no, it comes from the word to be crooked. And he relates it to Derek Kesha for Salto. That means to be crooked. And as though Rachel is saying, I've tried all sorts of devious tricks and so on to be on a par with Leah. And now Kosh Baruch has blessed me with this child through Bilhah. So and she called him Naftali. But it's the same root. Pesof Lamed. Pesof Lamed, to be crooked or to be devious or to entwine, which involves mixing in all sorts of threads together. That's the Ibn Ezra on our pasuk in Tehillim relates it to that pasuk Naftalelikim Iftalti. Yep. Yes, the Das Mikra, Sefer Das Mikra, tackles this word Gevar Tomim. Again, probably because it's an unexpected word. You'd expect the word Gever rather than the word Gevar. And he says that the word Gevar is Aramis. It's an Aramean word, which David has used here, an Aramean word. Interesting. So let me quote to you from the Yalkut Shimoni on Shmuel Beis, and it's Remez Kuf Samech Aleph, on the phrase Im Chositis Chasod. What does it mean? Am Rabbi Yitzchak, Kol HaMasmim Atzmo, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Masmim Imo, Shneim Im Chositis Chasod, Im Gevatomim Titamom. Actually, better still would be to quote this from a Gemara in Nedarim. It's the same sugin in Nedarim. Let me go through this. It's in Nedarim, Lamed Beis Amud Aleph, where the Gemara speaks about superstition and telling the future, that kind of thing. And the Gemara there says, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, here we are, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, kol hamasmim atzmo, anyone who deals with himself perfectly, i.e. he doesn't try to look into the future, he's not interested in superstition, he accepts whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends him without trying to find out what will happen. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Masmim Imo, Hashem deals in a tomim, in a perfect way with him. Shenema Aposuk in Chositis Chasod im Gevar Tomim Titamom. So again, it's a reflexive form. However the person is, Hashem reacts to him in the same manner. Now, there's a piece of Zohar, which I saw quoted in this Sefer, this Yalkut of Medrashim on Tehillim, piece of Zohar in Toldos, and it's Chelek Aleph, and I think it's on page Kuf Lama Tesomad Beis. I haven't looked it up, but I saw the quotation. All these Pesukim refer to none other than Yaakov, specifically Yaakov. That Yaakov was... Yes, all these descriptions refer to Yaakov. Why? Because Yaakov was indeed a chosid and a tomim and a novar. Have I got the right word? Novar, yeah. But when it came to dealing with Lavan, he had to deal with Lavan in a... He had to be on a wary way. Deal with... Exactly. Oh, talking to Lavan in the same language. Yeah, Lavan himself was just a great con man. If you're dealing with someone who's a con man, you might need to be a bit of a con man yourself in order to get the better of them. Yeah, absolutely. So, and I think there's a pasuk in, I can't remember where it says, I think it might be in Vayetzi or Vayeshach, where it says, Ochiv ani b'mirmo, Yaakov said, I'm like Lavan's brother, wasn't a brother, he was a nephew of Lavan and also a son-in-law of Lavan, but he said, I'm his brother in mirmo, in trickery. I'm on a par with him in trickery. He's going to... And of course, V'tachlefes maskuti aseres monim at the end of Ayetze. You know, you tricked me so many times. Now, something very, very connected to yesterday's Sedra, where we... Pashas Pinchas, where we spoke about the Korbanos for Rish Chodesh. And of course, on Rish Chodesh, we have the Sirizim Echad Lachatos. Yeah. There's a piece of Zohar, again it's in Toldos Chelek Aleph Kuf Lamed Ches Ahmed Beis, which says that when it comes to Rosh Chodesh, we bring a so'ir, a goat, as a common chatos. In fact, on Yom Tovim as well. There's another so'ir as well, which is the so'ir hamishtaleach. Says the Zohar on Yom Kippur, says the Zohar, this is to silence, these se'irim are to silence the other so'ir. Who's the other so'ir? Esav, who's described as the Ish So'ir. Who's So'ir? He was a hairy man. So'ir is Sa'ar, meaning hairy. Yeah? So we bring a So'ir, a billy goat, a kid goat, billy goat. It's called a So'ir because it's got a hairy face, it's got a beard. And that's to silence Esav. Listen to this Loshen. V'hu machti lamata or makatre glamala. He makes us sin down here below on earth, or makatre glamala, and he accuses us on high in heaven. So it's almost like although it says it's a reference to Esav, it's really a reference to the Sotan. The Sotan, exactly. Yeah, and therefore, when it to deal with him, we need to be two faced. That's it. Oh. So that's vim ikish. So that's how possible vim ikish tispatol. We should be one step ahead. He's crooked. The Sotan is crooked. We need to be crooked with him too. And therefore, the so'ir that we bring on Rosh Chodesh and on Yom Tovim, and the so'ir mishtalech, is all to be one in the eye against the Sotan. That's really what it comes to. I'll just mention one last thing on this. Just compare it with the Pesukim in Shmuel Beis. You okay to finish on this? Yeah? Okay. The Pesukim in Shmuel Beis. You've got the bookmark there for Shmuel Beis. The parallel Pasuk in Shmuel Beis, it's chapter Kaf Beis, and we're on Pasuk Kaf Vav. Im Chosid Tis Chasod, which is the same, but then it says, you got it? Shmuel Beis, Kaf Beis, Pasuk Kaf Vav. Yeah? Im Chosid Tis Chasod, that's exactly as we have it, but then it says, Im Gibber Tomim Titamon, which is not quite the same as ours. We've got Im Gevar Tomim, and we've got Im Gevar Tomim, and there it's got Im Gibber Tomim, strong man. Slight difference there. And in the next pasuk, Im Novar Tis, we have Im Novar Tis Borar.
It's not strong man, it's strong in perfection.
Strong man of perfection, yes. Strong imperfection. Yes, yes, yes. Yeah, you're right. Of course you're right. Yeah. A person whose strength is in his perfection. Yeah. And then we've got, now in our posuk, we've got in Tehillim, we've got Im Novar Tisborar, which is a hispoil, a full hispoil, while there in Shmuel Beis, we've got Im Novar Titovar. Now that word Titovar, I think is a nifal. Titovar. No, it's not. No, it's another hispoil. So it's another hispoil. Titovar is, again, it's short for Tisborar. It's a slightly abbreviated form of Tisborar. There it's got Titovar, another abbreviated hispoil. And we've got, in Tilim, we've got V'im Ikesh Tispatol, and there it's got V'im Ikesh Titapol. And that word Titapol is another abbreviated hispoil. Mm-hmm. Okay? Titapol, short for Tispatol. The Abraham Benel on Shmuel Beis says, and I didn't fully understand, but he says, that, like he says all the way along, that the version of Tehillim is an improvement on the version of Shmuel Beis. And he says there are slight improvements in the Loshen in Tehillim over and above that. The changes in Tehillim are there to improve the language a little bit. I don't really understand how, but that's how the Abraham Benel learns.